This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Government shutdown's over. Debt ceiling is raised. Wednesday night, the House of Representatives voted to end the stalemate. Democrat G.K. Butterfield was among those who approved the deal. He represents North Carolina's 1st Congressional District that includes Durham, Goldsboro, and New Bern. And he is with us now, Representative Butterfield. Welcome. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank.
Republicans taking quite a hit in the polls. Three-quarters of Americans blame them, or at least say that they don't like the Republicans anymore because of all of this. And yet they will say, look, the Democrats had a chance. All we ask them is to delay implementation before we went into the Affordable Care Act. And if they'd have done that, the government wouldn't have shut down. They share the blame with us. Do Democrats share the blame?
Well, Frank, it's been a very difficult 3 weeks to say the least. I haven't had the luxury of taking the time to look at the polling data. I certainly would do it in the days to come, but I've been more concentrated on trying to get this government reopened.
Do the Democrats share the blame for shutting it down?
I say not. I say not. What has gotten lost in this debate is that Democrats reluctantly agreed to the $986 billion funding level that had been set out by the Ryan budget. We agreed to it, and that has been completely lost in the translation. We agreed to $986 billion as the authority to spend during the temporary period through January 15th. The Republicans would not accept yes for an answer. They continued to insist that we defund Obamacare, delay the individual mandate, and other extraordinary measures that we certainly were not going to agree to.
And
but we have agreed.
And that was on the table 16 days ago, 18 days ago. So that was always part of the deal, that you would accept the Republican budget proposal.
That the president said that early on, we would accept the for the purpose of negotiation, we will accept the $986 billion sequestered number.
The polls do show that that the public is not happy with the Republicans. Is this something that the Democrats can capitalize on?
Well, I'm sure there will be some benefit trending in the Democratic direction, but right now I'm just more concerned about the period between now and December 13th when we have to get a final budget approved. What we approved the other night was a temporary measure. It simply reopened the government, even though 144 Republicans voted not to reopen the government. All of the Democrats stood united, but I'm more concerned now in getting a budget so we can fund the government through September 30th.
But so looking ahead to those negotiations, did this shutdown and all that surrounded it make things easier or more difficult now to get a final resolution as the next deadline approaches?
I think it's going to be easier now to reach a compromise. The Republicans now see the tea leaves. They see that the public is disgusted with their recklessness. They have acted very irresponsibly, not just over the last few weeks, but since the beginning of this session of Congress. And I believe it's going to be much easier now to get a fair, balanced budget.
What about the impact here in the state of North Carolina?
Tremendous, tremendous impact. The national impact was $24 billion. Can you imagine what we could have done with $24 billion? Could you just imagine what we could have done right here in North Carolina with $1 billion? That's the price of this government shutdown.
Congressman, thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
G.K. Butterfield is a Democratic congressman who represents North Carolina's 1st Congressional District. It's a district that includes Durham, Goldsboro, and New Bern. Well, as we said, 285 Republicans, representatives, I should say, approved the deal to end the shutdown. 87 of them were Republicans, and one of those Republicans was our very own Howard Cobalt, who represents the 6th Congressional District that includes Greensboro. We talked with him earlier and asked him why he voted to end the shutdown.
Well, we live in whether we like it or not, guys, we live in a global economy. And it was my fear that if we did, in fact, default, that the market would respond erratically, and that would send shockwaves, in my opinion, worldwide. And when it comes to defaulting on our debts that we do, in fact, owe, I believe in err on the side of caution.
There are those, though, who would say, look, you're just enabling this. This debt's gotten out of control. If you just keep saying yes, when are we going to stop it?
Well, I hope we stop it in the next meeting.
Tell us about this. There are a lot of people who are saying, and the polls are showing, the Republican Party really took a hit in all of this. How do you feel about that?
I think that was probably overly emphasized and inaccurately. When all this started, the issues before us were these two. My constituents, and I believe, for that matter, most of the constituents nationwide, felt very strongly against Obama health care on the one hand, and they felt equally strongly against shutting down the government. Our proposal to avoid shutting down the government would have been to have delayed the enactment of Obamacare for 1 year. And I think now that our contentions were prophetic because they've had all kinds of problems, I'm told, and people trying to enroll. So if the president had just been willing to come to the table to discuss it, and if we could have, in fact, put that on hold for a year, all this could have been avoided. But I think you're right. We're being portrayed as the wrongdoer. And I think if you're going to refer to it by title, call it the President Obama and the Congress jointly involved in shutting down the government.
But if it sets a precedent that every time passionate people on the left and the right don't like legislation that's been passed, they're going to threaten a shutdown if you don't delay or end it, that's kind of a dangerous precedent, do you think?
Well, it may well be, but that's what's before us right now.
Is there a worry, too, and here's what some of the pundits are saying, that the fact is the Tea Party has hijacked the mainstream Republican Party, and the Republican Party itself has a problem?
Well, I'm not sure that that's true. I think there ought to be enough room in our political tent to accommodate Senator Cruz on the one hand and Governor Christie on the other. Now, some people in my party would like to build a fence around that tent and restrict those who will be admitted, but I think let's enlarge the tent.
It was Congressman Howard Coble of Greensboro. Well, not all of North Carolina's congressional delegation voted yes. Republican Representative Walter Jones represents the 3rd District, and that includes the Outer Banks, parts of Wilmington. He voted no on Wednesday, and he joins us now. Representative Jones, welcome to the program. Good to have you here.
Well, Frank, thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
You voted against this. Why?
Frank, America is headed for a financial collapse, and there is absolutely no way we can continue to borrow money from foreign governments to spend when we want to continue to spend. We've got to stop the spending. And very quickly, I want to read one sentence from a speech that was given by Senator Obama on March the 20th of 2006. The debt of the country at that time was $7.9 trillion, just one paragraph. Leadership means that the buck stops here. Instead, Washington is shifting the burden of bad choices today onto the backs of our children and grandchildren. America has a debt problem and a failure of leadership. America deserves better. Frank, they're the words of United States Senator Obama when he gave the speech of why in March of 2006 he was not voting for a debt ceiling increase. And the debt was 7.9. The debt today is over $17 trillion. We're paying $1 million a day to pay the interest on the debt. It cannot continue.
Now, that's the debt ceiling vote. And you've been very consistent, along with Senator Obama back then, in not approving that until we kind of hold our feet to the fire and address the question of the debt ceiling. This was far bigger. This was something that was going to withhold budget spending, a continuing resolution, shut down the government. And it was in the service of overturning legislation that had already been passed. That was different. And why not support that as well?
Well, I was for keeping the government open, but I've been seeing this for 20 years, whether it be a Republican president like George Bush or now a Democratic president like Mr. Obama. And what I see happening, every time you give them one more dollar, they're going to spend a dollar and a half. It is time to stop the spending and to reinvest in our country. And that you don't do it, Frank, by borrowing money from foreign countries to continue spending, because, in other words, you never pay the bills back. Our children and grandchildren one day will, in my opinion, resent those of us who had served in the Congress 20 years before they become adults. We continue to play this game, whether it be a Republican president or a Democratic president. I did not vote for Bush's Medicare Part D bill that raised spending on medicine. This bill alone, Frank, there's $30 billion more to go to Afghanistan.
Well, let me ask you this, though. In all of this, and you make a compelling argument for, again, addressing a very serious question and sitting down and really hashing it out, coming up with an answer. In this case, looking at the polls, the Republicans have really taken a hit. Is this something that the Republican Party is going to survive? Are you worried about the impact of this particular act on the Republican Party?
Frank, I've never worried about trying to do what I thought was right for the people I represent. Yes, they will make a decision when election time rolls around. But I make my decision not on what the Republican leadership wants or what the Democratic leadership wants. I make my decision on one day I will not be in Congress. Did I do a good job for God's people? That's how I make my decisions.
Well, let me ask you to act as political pundit for a moment and not as a congressman and ask you about the impact of the Tea Party on the Republican Party. Are you concerned that a minority of the party has taken control and that you've, that mainstream Republicans have lost control of their party?
I think that any, whether it be the Tea Party or any other group, as long as they are trying their best in their own way to save America from collapsing, it could be a liberal group, then they have every right to be part of the solution. And people that choose, whether it be the left or the right, and say they're part of the problem, I disagree, because they are participating. If you want to save this republic, you need to participate. So I make no judgment, left or right.
Congressman Jones, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you, Frank.
Republican Congressman Walter Jones represents the 3rd Congressional District of North Carolina, including the Outer Banks and parts of Wilmington. Just ahead, we're going to take a look at more of the political fallout here in North Carolina from the recent shutdown. We'll do it on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Please stay tuned.